So good to be here. So good to see you all. So good to just be among such great, great people. The weeks are usually really long for me, and then I come here and see you guys, and it just makes everything worth it. Love you guys very much. I am trying to still recover from this cold, borderline pneumonia bronchitis thing, so if I start hacking, I'll try to... Sam just muted again. So, excuse me, there we go. All right, so we are continuing this series on the kingdom of God. And in this story, Jesus was talking to some people about the kingdom of God, about the dream of God, what God is doing in the world, has been doing, was doing with Jesus, and where God is among us. And as he's talking to these people, he begins to tell this story. It's one of my favorites. But before we get to that, I have to thank you. These are not emotional pauses. These are thank you. Yeah, we're going to play it off. These are deeply emotional pauses. So, a little confession. There's a question that people ask me, and a number of people ask me, have asked me this, that are in the room, that really just drives me insane. And I have to make a little disclaimer about it, because there are people, a lot of people in this room that have asked me this question before, that drives me insane. It's not because you are irritating or annoying. That might be part of it. You know, that might be a separate issue. But the reason why this question drives me insane is my own issues. Because it's an everyday kind of common question that people ask people. And the question is this: so what are you doing today? Or what do you got going on this week? And whenever I hear this question, whenever somebody asks this to me, especially in some nonchalant sort of a way, it makes my brain want to explode and lock up all at the same time. Because how do I answer this when on any given day I'm trying to do at least 1,000 things? I'm being pulled in 100 different directions. I'm trying to be there for 12 people. And I'm trying to move 6 projects forward in some sort of meaningful way. And trying to be somewhat of a sane father and a reasonably nice husband, you know? And it's a lot. So how do I answer that question that just seems to just be thrown out in conversation? What are you doing today? Or what do you got going on this week? It drives me crazy. And it's not, you know, it's not your fault. It's not you, it's me. And even when I'm not physically busy, when not physically doing something, I'm mentally very busy. From the time that I wake up in the morning to the time that my brain shuts down at night, I'm thinking, I'm analyzing, I'm planning, I'm problem solving. So that for the most part, for the most vast majority of my adult life, this question, this everyday question of what are you doing today, has driven me crazy. And it's never fit in for me in casual conversations the way that people throw it out. But just like any crazy person would say, I believe I'm getting better. I really do. But the nutty thing is in this is that I don't think that I'm all alone here. I think that there's a lot of people in this room that... that might be kind of nutty along the same veins, along the same lines. Because there's a lot of busy people here. We're busy, both mentally and physically. Some of you are working 2 jobs and going to school. Some of you are working and also trying to take care of a family all on your own. Some of you have got a lot of life transition stuff going on. You're trying to navigate all of that stuff and work all at the same time. Some of you have teenagers, you know, that's a lot. A friend of ours, she just gave birth to her 3rd little boy, and her husband is gone all the time for work, and he's So all three of their little boys are five or less. You know, she's busy. She's so busy, mentally and physically all the time. She doesn't have time to remember her own name. She's so busy. Some of you are going to school, working. Some of you, a number of you spend a lot of your time and your energy looking out for friends and neighbors and serving in this community, and I love that. Busy. A lot of people in this room are both physically and mentally busy. And it's for people like you and for people like me that Jesus told this story. So like I said, Jesus was hanging out with people, talking about this kingdom of God, this dream of God, and he begins telling this story. And he tells a story of this guy that is throwing this huge party, ancient Near Eastern style. And maybe you don't know what that means, you know, but that means an epic, epic party. Because hospitality in the ancient Near East was just huge. So this guy's going to throw a party, and when you're and everybody gives it their best when they're throwing a party. And when you're rich in the ancient Near East, your parties are incredible. So you invite your friends, and then you get to work on this party. And when everybody shows up, they don't have to worry about a thing. There's food, there is wine, there is music, and it doesn't stop for days. And by the way, usually with really rich people, like this guy probably was, they've got party clothes already made for you and waiting for you when you get there. So not just an incredible, incredible party. You just show up and there's food and wine and music and clothes and it doesn't stop. So the way that this goes, the host of the party would send out an early invitation, kind of like a save the date. So he sends his servants out and says, "Hey, there's going to be a party, and I'm getting it ready. And I'll send servants out again to let you know when everything is set, and you just come on." So that's what he does. He sends the servants out. Everybody that's invited, they know. And then he gets everything ready and sends the servants out and says, "All right, the food is hot, the wine is breathing, we're ready to go. Everybody come on." And normally what happens, everybody just stops what they're doing and they go to the party, and when the last people that get there to the party, the last of the invited people show up, the doors or the gates are closed and the party begins. How epic is that? Everyone has arrived. Let's begin. But that's not what happened in this story. The servants go out and they tell people, "Hey, everything is ready." And then everybody responds with a bunch of lame excuses. The first guy, he says, "Hey, I bought a field and I can't come. I bought a field and I need to walk around it." Other guy says, "Hey, I bought a team of oxen, you know, and I really need to try them out, you know, make sure they walk straight and can get along and things like that." I mean, you just got to, when you get your oxen, you got to try them out. You can't delay, you know. And I love the last guy's excuse. "I'm married, so I just got married, so I can't come, you know." So love that. So the servants come back and they tell the master this, and he's understandably furious because these are all a bunch of lame excuses. Meaningful pause. All this stuff ready for them. He's got clothes made and he's got food prepared. He went to great, great expense this incredible party for these people, and they're not coming. So the master sends the servants out and he says, "Go into the town, find the blind and the lame and the crippled people and the poor people, and you invite them to come to my party." And so the servants go out and they do that. And guess what? All the poor and the blind and the lame and the crippled people, they know a good invitation when they see it. And so they do whatever they have to do to get to that party. They hobble, they walk, they crawl, and they flood the place. They're there. And the servants tell the master, hey, everything has been done. We invited all of those people, but there's still room. And the master says, well, go out into the countryside and find people in the ditches. Find people lying on the roads. Find bums on the street and bring them in and fill up this place. And they do that. And the party is finally full. And they close the doors. They shut the gates. The party begins. And all of the people that were originally invited missed out on the huge, epic party. And Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And a lot of us, since we hear this story, we would like to think that we're different than the people that are the butt of this story. That we would never turn down a huge and amazing opportunity and invitation with some lame excuse. But we do. And we are actually no different, and that our lives reflect that we live out those excuses and we live out misplaced priorities. After all, we're busy people, right? The God who created the universe and who wove you and me together wants to spend life with you, wants to hear your thoughts, and to share God's thoughts, wants to spend time with you, wants to navigate this one and only life that God has given you with you in close relationship with you. And what do we say to that? What did you say yesterday? To spend time with you. What did you say about that this past week? We get the chance every single day to find ourselves in this story, to respond to God's invitation to come to the huge and epic party, to come and live life with God. Or to turn it down. What do we do? Do we got to walk our field? Test out our oxen? What is it? What do we do with that? You know, the first time that that Mother Teresa came to the United States, she looked around for a while and she began to cry. This woman who has spent her life and her ministry working among the most desperate and poor and oppressed and suffering people on the entire planet, looked around at the United States and began to weep for us. And she said, how can people who have so much ever feel their need for God? And maybe that doesn't sit home with you about having so much because you don't feel rich, even though you are. Globally and historically, you're crazy rich. And I don't care where you are on the American spectrum of wealth, but you're crazy rich. But you're also rich in other ways. Maybe you're rich in intelligence, rich in creativity, rich in problem-solving abilities.
Same is so good.
Rich in your social skills and your social support network. That's huge. That's huge. Maybe you're rich in your physical health and your physical abilities. You and I, we are all rich. We are rich. So how can people who have so much ever feel their need for God? It's no mystery that when the poor and the lame and the cripple and the blind were invited to this party, that they came flooding and hobbling and crawling in. They knew a good invitation when they saw one. And when they got there, I bet they spent their whole time in awe and in gratitude and in wonder that they got to be there. Maybe you're like these folks. Maybe that's the way that you live your life, that you live your life in awe and wonder and gratitude at the gift that God has given you. But maybe you're like me. There are some days when you come to the party and you are full of that awe and that gratitude and that wonder that God would save a wretch like you. There are days that you just give the world back to God and you just enjoy God's presence and you enjoy the life and the day that God has given you. And maybe like me, there's other days where you are so full of self-importance, so full of self-sufficiency, so full of the weight of the world that you hardly give God and God's invitation and God's gift a second thought. This story that Jesus is telling here, it's not just a nice story. It has kind of a sting to it for busy people. The story is telling us that the kingdom of God belongs to those who know a good invitation when they see it. Those who hear the invitation, they drop everything that they're doing, and they walk, they hobble, or they crawl their way to the party. They do whatever it takes. The kingdom of God belongs to people who know a good invitation when they see it. And here's the sting. At some point, the house will be full, and the doors and the gates will be closed, and the party will begin. And everyone who was too busy or too distracted or too rich in one way or another to see the invitation for the incredible gift that it was will be shut out and they'll miss out on the party. So don't miss out on the party. Don't miss out on the with God life. Don't miss out on God's good kingdom. Today and all your days, accept God's incredible gift for what it is. Spend your life, spend your time with God today, this week. Turn your heart to gratitude and awe and wonder that the God that created the universe and that wove you together wants to share God's thoughts with you and wants to hear yours. And is inviting you to a party where there's nothing to worry about and that everything is taken care of. Don't miss it.